Music Ray Gun. My name is Paul.
I'm Kirk.
Hey, Kirk, are you ready to get evil?
Paul, I'm worried.
You're worried.
Listen, we are a good conservative Christian podcast. That's what we're known for.
Is that what you thought?
Is that not what we do?
This podcast has always been satanic.
Oh, really?
Music Ray Gun was created to glorify Satan.
I thought it was to really promote the word of God.
No, that was not the intention.
Have I been wrong for 7 years?
I've been subtly laying the groundwork that all the subtext of everything we've ever done was to trick teens into worshiping the devil.
So you're a follower of Beelzebub?
Yes. Have you never played one of our episodes?
No,
backward?
I don't listen.
Oh, I backward mask every
Is
episode.
Is that why you're always in black, too?
Yeah.
Fuck. I really didn't know this. I really thought we were just doing wholesome entertainment for the family.
No, this is where we're finally coming out. We're making the subtext text.
Yes.
This is our long-awaited Hail Satan episode.
Hail Satan. Satanic across the board.
Yeah, Satanism in music is the topic.
Yep.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Now, some listeners might say, Paul Kirk, it's April. Why wouldn't you save this topic for, like, Halloween, the next Halloween episode? And to those people I say, you're right, but I didn't think of that, and we put it on the schedule, so we're doing it now.
Literally, didn't think of it until you just said it. That's a great idea. We should have done it then.
It would have been a good Halloween episode.
It would have been really good.
Whatever, we'll do Hail Satan again.
We'll do Hail Satan 2, Halloween version.
We've done sequels before.
Yeah, there's no rules.
Yeah,
but that's hysterical. Never even thought of that.
I thought of it when you got here, and I was going out to open the door to let you in. I was like, oh, maybe we should have waited, but whatever.
That's okay. It's still
fun.
It's
a time-shifted medium. Listen to this episode at Halloween.
Save it.
Save it. If you don't want to listen to it now and you want to save it, save it. If you want to listen to it now, listen to it again at Halloween.
It's still going
to
be good.
Listen to it every day. Listen to Music Ray Gun every day.
Yeah.
Listen to Music Ray Gun every day.
Get your Satan inside you.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna worship the devil.
Yeah.
And we're going to start it out with just a Stone Cold classic. I'm like, why save this for last? We're going to do the big obvious one first.
Okay.
We're going to watch the music video for Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
Makes
is
sense.
A legendary heavy metal record from 1982.
Yep.
Which is not actually about worshiping Satan, despite what every Christian teen's parents were terrified of 40-whatever years ago. But it's about, if you listen to the lyrics, encountering Satan worshippers.
The narrator
stumbles upon a cult performing a satanic ritual and is terrified by it.
Because he's a good Christian.
I mean, neutral.
Okay.
You know, neutral. Not specified what faith the narrator is. But this is just a cool early MTV music video where they just sort of film them performing on stage, but they do introduce some elements of stagecraft that are visually interesting.
Okay.
And this is just a cool song where, like, quote-unquote satanic heavy metal, like Iron Maiden or Judas Priest or, like, early 80s heavy metal, is basically just hard rock. Like,
exactly.
By today's standards, it's real tame. Like, and just, like, good rock music.
That's so true. Like, here's one of the best examples. And this isn't that satanic, but, like, Bark at the Moon.
Yeah.
That's just like a rock song.
Yeah.
But at the time, you're like, oh my God, that's scary.
Yeah. There's always a part of me that wishes I were your age. I wish I were your age for a lot of reasons. I would have liked to have been in college in the late 80s, early 90s. But I really would have liked to have been a 13-year-old boy in the early 80s at the peak of, like, heavy metal, Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that culture for teenage boys.
Yeah.
I like that aesthetic. I'm into that shit.
You missed it by 10
years. If
like
I were
years.
13 in 1983, I would have been into Iron Maiden and playing Advanced
That's
D&D.
That's so funny. I was into neither.
No, you wouldn't have been. But this is very much like my shit.
Yeah.
Again, nostalgic for a time I didn't experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, here's the Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. And it's got the spoken word opening.
It's from
the Book of Revelation.
I haven't heard this in a while.
It's the Bible.
Oh, look, it's the wolf.
Did this get played on the radio at the time?
No.
No.
not on like because it wasn't on pop radio and it wasn't on classic rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir. Wow. I've never seen this video.
Oh, no? Yeah, there's lots of clips from classic horror movies. Yeah. So you're seeing Nosferatu. You're seeing the Wolfman.
That voice.
Oh, Bruce Dickinson has pipes.
Yeah.
Also, this is one of those bands where, like, all the songs and lyrics were written by the bass player. He's, like, the chief songwriter.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah.
They've had a few different singers over the years, but Bruce is the classic.
I'm always curious, like, with lyrics like this, did the lyricists, were they really into, like, demons? And not like they were satanic, but were they interested in that? Or they're just like, it just seems like a cool thing to write about.
It just seems like a cool thing to write about. Yeah. Now, later bands, and we'll get into it later in the episode, are actually satanic, or at least professed to be.
Yeah.
Like when you start talking about like Norwegian black metal.
That, yes.
They're like, no, we actually do worship Satan.
Yeah.
But like Iron Maiden is just like, it's like Kiss. Yeah. It's like they're putting on costumes.
Yeah, this is fun.
It's fun. It's Dungeons and Dragons. It's
exactly.
Like, demons and unicorns
goblins.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun. And then this is the iconic Bruce Dickinson scream.
Yeah. And there's Godzilla.
Yeah, and there's Godzilla. Yeah. Man, I would have loved to have seen Maiden live in 1983.
It was probably really loud.
Yeah, and fun.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this shit rules.
It is funny though. It's like, since this, there's so much harder.
Yeah, this is just like tuneful rock. Yeah. It's fast. Yeah. But
at the time, it was like,
intense.
It's intense.
Yeah.
This is, you'll hate this comparison, but this is how I compare it to. Like, in the like early 80s or late 70s, if someone dunked in a basketball game, you're like, oh my god.
Oh, a dunk.
A dunk with two hands, it's amazing. And now everyone can dunk, and you have to really be something.
Yeah, the goalposts keep getting moved.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the case here.
And I don't consider myself a metal fan.
Yeah.
But I do like this early 80s metal. We've talked about that before with like Judas Priest and some of those bands. I like that stuff because to me it's just like, it's rock and roll. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's not that speed thrash that's so like what I
know. No, like Metallica. Yeah. Like, or death metal or black metal or that really, really grimy shit.
But at the time, it's funny you don't see it now, but I mean, if you're a Christian parent and you see this video, you're like, oh my god, oh my god.
And the lyrics are overtly saying 666, the number of the beast, hellfire, and blah blah blah. So yeah, if you're super Christian, it's not like this is even subtextual.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to dig deep.
But it's also like, it's just fun. Like, it's not, no one's converting to Satanism.
No one ever did.
Because they listened to an Iron Maiden record.
Exactly. No one ever did.
I mean, that solo wails. This is just a great song.
Wait, there's...
So, they have ballroom dancers dancing on the stage.
That's a step.
Can you guess why there are ballroom dancers? And then there's someone with a Wolfman mask.
Because they wanted the visual?
They're leading up to a visual pun.
Oh, okay.
What happens in a competition?
There's a winner and loser.
But how do they decide the winner and loser?
By a judge.
What do the judges do?
They give numbers.
Yeah. How many judges are there?
Three.
Yeah.
Are they going to give this group 666?
Yeah. Well, you figured it out, Kirk.
Wow.
I gave you the opportunity to spoil it, and you did.
Yep. You led me there.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me unpause. Yeah. They're numbers because, you know, they get assigned numbers are also sixes.
Oh, okay. Because Satan.
Yeah. That's a cool solo.
Wait, are there two soloists?
Yeah, I think there are two. See, a six, and a six.
They shouldn't be happy about sixes. That's a terrible score for dance.
But even that is very, like, they know it's silly.
Yeah,
right?
they're like winking.
Yeah. And then there's like a cool, I don't know what monster movie that was, but
I don't know. And there's well, Satan.
There's a devil.
Or devil, yeah.
It's like a, you know, a guy with a pitchfork and he's going to stick it in your tuchus.
If you if you were like a teenage, like a preteen at this time.
Yeah.
With into monsters in this, you'd be like, this video is like the greatest video I've ever
seen. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I did, you know, when I was 14, I was into like Metallica and shit. So I did dabble in metal, but I was never like a horror guy or a monster movie guy. So that part didn't quite appeal to me. So I don't know if I really would have been into Maiden.
Yeah.
But I do, as an adult, I'm like, oh, I wish I could have experienced that as a tween. I mean, I genuinely do listen to this song. You know, I like this song. Wow. Yeah, I do like Maiden. They're cool.
I do remember this song just having heard it in someone's car.
And there's Eddie, finally. Oh, that's, you know, their mascot.
I forgot that this is the band that had Eddie.
Eddie. Which again, Eddie's a funny character.
That's the thing, too. It's a monster, but you're calling him Eddie. So yeah. It's like they're in on the joke.
He's a rock and roll zombie.
Yeah.
It's a big Eddie statue that they had on stage.
I gotta tell ya.
Yeah.
That probably cost a fair amount of money to put that up.
Yeah, when you see them live, if that thing comes out on stage, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it looks cool even on the small screen here, but. And it's, then the dancers and the devil are there.
It's funny, maybe now, because you're like, how did people think that this was really serious?
Yeah, like, these rock and rollers are coming for your children to convert them to...
It's so dumb.
It's just... It's theater.
Yeah, exactly.
And even by this time, like, the 50s are 30 years in the rear view, which, you know, was... It's the devil's music, right? Like, that whole thing, we got past it. It's just theater. It's theater. It's just fun. Theater.
Yeah.
It's Halloween.
You have a monster named Eddie that's smiling.
Who wears a leather jacket and looks like Joey Ramone's corpse.
I mean, my God.
But also, even aside from the theater and the silliness of the visuals and the presentation, that's just a kick-ass rock song.
Yeah, it's pretty
good
song.
I love Number of the Beast. Yeah. And I like a lot of Maiden. I never dove deep.
Yeah.
But I listened to them enough that I feel like I could wear an iconic Iron Maiden shirt, like the Killer shirt.
Okay.
And not feel embarrassed like I'm a fake fan.
So you could give some deep cuts?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
But yeah, so I wanted to start it off with that because it's just sort of legendary. But now let's go way back in time because I mentioned rock and roll being the devil's music, which
it is.
It is. Let's talk about Robert Johnson.
Oh, the man who started all the devil music.
The man who started it all, the devil music.
Yeah.
The legendary blues guitarist.
Yeah.
With a legend surrounding him so famous that it gets like retold and repurposed. For other acts.
I mean, it turned it into a movie with Ralph Macchio.
That's right. Yeah. That movie was called Crossroads.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So we're going to listen to the recording of Robert Johnson doing Crossroads.
Okay.
With a new music video, like someone animated it for the official Robert Johnson YouTube page.
All right, so it's official.
This isn't my kind of music, like old blues.
Not a blues guy, but.
But it is an important piece of Americana.
Yep.
So I don't mind covering it on our podcast.
It's important.
And we're even going to explore some of the other legends that sprung from this. We're not going to watch any more clips of Crossroads in this episode.
Thank God, because I don't want to see Clapton do it.
But no. Well, Clapton's song is a cover of this song.
Yeah.
So this is the original. And it's about, well, just to recap the legend for anyone who doesn't know it, which I assume everyone does.
Come on, people.
Robert Johnson allegedly went down to the crossroads and sold his soul to the devil to become the great guitar player. Which is sort of hilarious because, again, by today's standards and the constantly moving goalposts, like his great guitar playing is like plink, plonk, plinky, plonk, plink, plonk,
strong, strong, strong.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, wow, what a virtuoso.
Yeah. You really...
Who am I to shit on Robert Johnson?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's that. He coveted the many talents of Son House. Another old blues guy.
Oh, I didn't know who that was.
Oh, you never heard of Son House?
No.
Robert had big dreams.
I like this, the explainer video.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good.
And one night he took matters into his own hands.
I never realized that this is such a slow version. I'm so used to hearing like a faster, like...
The Clapton thing?
Yeah.
Now he's in a creepy... Oh, there's Old Scratch.
Yeah, gulp.
Yeah. And he says, I want to be the best blues guitarist ever. So he sells his soul to the devil.
Yeah.
Which is a cool thing to do. Suddenly no one could touch him. Again, we're listening to him play guitar.
I'm like is this really that good?
Wow, he really shreds.
Yeah. I think his voice is better than his guitar playing. Yeah, I said it.
It's about the texture.
Yes, yeah, I guess that would be it.
And now he's partying with all these fast women.
Yeah.
But with success comes jealousy. Oh, see, now other men hate him because they're dames.
Oh, yeah, because they love
him.
Robert so much because he's so talented.
This is the power of Satan.
Because he's such a good guitar player.
Yeah. Oh, they flirting with him.
Yep. Giving him some elixir.
Yep. It's probably prohibition time, so that's like moonshine. Oh, now he's fucked up.
Oh, okay.
The devil always gets his
due.
I don't know how Robert Johnson died.
I was about
died.
To say, did he die
they
from poison?
They are implying that he was poisoned.
Yeah. Resting in R.I.B.
Rest in blues. Not all of this may be true, but one thing is for certain. And it's a list of all the people who were influenced by him, which...
Moby?
Yeah, I mean, look, on a long enough timeline, everyone
says
no Robert Johnson, no rock and roll.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like the Tommy Westfall universe.
Yes.
Right? Like, it all goes back to the early blues
on
some level. So. Yeah.
Even if I don't like it, it all stems from it.
And that's why rock and roll is the devil's music.
Yes.
And thank you, Satan.
Thank you. Hey, Satan, could you have made Robert a better guitar player?
Yeah. He could, but...
He chose not to.
At the time, he made him the best.
It's like, it's all I know.
Yeah. That's not even his instrument, though. The devil.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
It's not.
He plays... What does he play?
The fiddle.
The fiddle.
Fucking segue.
See how I set up our next clip?
Yeah. Goddamn right, Charlie Daniels Band.
Again, it's always about competing with the devil. I always included a Tenacious D clip because they have their legend about competing with the devil for rock and roll supremacy. It's a recurring thing.
Yes.
The devil went down to Georgia as the Charlie Daniels Band.
Yes.
Biggest hit, only hit?
Biggest
I
don't know any other. This
Charlie
this,
Daniels.
This played on pop radio in the early 80s.
When I was in college in the early 2000s, I knew a guy who was like, this is the best record ever made.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was a dude that I didn't like. It was my friend's roommate.
Yeah.
He sucked. But but the point is that it's a perennial favorite.
Yeah. I mean, they did it on The Muppet Show.
Yeah.
So, but why I picked this is, I didn't, don't at me, years ago about this song. Where I said, the devil's version is fucking way better than the...
Charlie's?
Than Charlie's. Than a Johnny.
Johnny, right.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Johnny,
yeah.
The Johnny part sucks ass, and the devil part slaps.
I don't know if I've listened to it since you did that, Don't At Me. So now I want to pay attention and see...
It's some funky ass shit.
What's what?
Yeah.
Right, because you're, again, like I did, assuming people know the story that the song tells.
Yes.
Which is... Johnny is a great fiddle player.
Yeah.
He competes in a fiddle competition with the devil.
Yes.
And if he loses his soul.
And if he wins, he gets a pot of gold.
Is that what he gets?
A fiddle of gold.
So they each solo, and
then
the devil is like, wow, I have to admit you're the best or whatever.
Which is
But you're saying, from what we hear on the record, Johnny's not even
Wait
do
you
than
hear? I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
But this played all the time on pop radio. Which is weird.
Are you a fan of it?
I'm a fan of the devil part.
The devil's part?
The devil part fucking rocks. Everything else, it's country crap. I don't like it.
But isn't the devil's part a fiddle solo? Right?
No, that's Johnny's part.
That's Johnny's part. So what instrument does the devil play? Guitar?
Guitar and some funky ass guitar.
Okay.
This is called The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
This is some...
Jesus Christ. This played on pop radio.
There's always novelty hits.
Yeah, it's kind of novelty, yeah. I mean, it's the fiddle.
I mean, it's... Yeah.
The thing is, I know all the lyrics because it's a real easy song. It's a
famous song, yeah.
Famous, I've played so much. When he came across this young man, saw him on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. Doom, doom, doom. Yeah. Like, the crowd loves it. If you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, story song. Boy, but give the devil his due.
I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better. Oh, a golden fiddle.
Yes,
is,
a golden fiddle. Johnny, and it might be a sand, but I'll take
your bet. You're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. See, here's the thing. Yeah, it is a sin. Here's the thing about making a deal with the devil. Even if you beat the devil and you're like, back to the hellfire with you, Satan. It's like, you think God's just going to be cool that you made that risk?
God knows what you did.
Right, yeah. You still were like, yeah, cool, I'll engage with you, Satan. Yeah. Like, nah, you're literally damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You were supposed to shun him.
Yeah, just say like, nah, fuck you.
No, thank you. I'm playing the fiddle. Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is on you, Johnny. This part's terrible.
I mean, the whole thing is pretty terrible. But I am interested in hearing the devil solo with new ears since you introduced that concept. God, fiddle might even be worse than accordion.
Oh, hell yeah. I don't ever want to hear fiddle.
I mean, I want to hear, like, I'm fine with violin in a classical totally music context, but not this shit-kicking anthem.
I hate it. Oh, they're saying he played a fiddle. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, right. It's a chucking guitar. Yeah. This is like Nile Rodgers.
Listen to this. Okay, that keyboard is the bass.
Yeah, this rules. But of course, this like redneck was thinks like, oh, that's not as good as the fiddle
part. Yeah, this part sucks.
Yeah.
The Johnny one's the good one. That fucking chucking in that keyboard bass line is awesome.
Yeah, that you're right.
Here's now Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, this...
Right?
Yeah.
Come on. Devil won. It's not even a contest.
Just a chicken in the bread pan. Yeah. Like, who listens to this?
Yeah, come on.
So I remember this kid. It makes me think of some sophomore year of college, hanging out in the dorm with my friend Scott and his roommate Jason was just like listening to this on a loop
over and over again. I mean, Johnny got curb stomped.
Yeah, this...
No kind.
I mean, we're biased because we don't like fiddle in music.
Yeah.
And we love a rhythm guitar.
They should have flipped it. Johnny should have done that part.
Yeah. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again.
I done told you what, you son of a bitch. I'm the best as ever been. And they said bitch on the radio.
Oh, they didn't bleep it out?
They didn't bleep it out. And I remember going, wow. So that part, I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Brandon, does your dog bite? No child, no. Shut up. This is devil music. Dumb. This part is devil music.
Yeah, no, that's why I thought the devil was the one who played the fiddle.
Yeah, because the devil sucks and the fiddle sucks.
Yeah, he would play the devil.
Yeah.
The devil plays accordion, fiddle, and what else?
The recorder.
The recorder. Yeah, the devil loves green sleeves.
Yeah.
The devil loves to play.
That's so funny. But yeah, devil won. Come on, stop it.
Yeah, well.
If that whole song had been that, I'd been like, hey, listen, Charlie Dinnerman's got some good stuff.
Yeah.
If that whole song had just been that chucking part with the, I've been like, this is good.
I wonder if there is an earlier, because again, like Tenacious D does this with Tribute where they meet the devil on the road and have a rock off.
Yeah.
And they did it again in The Pick of Destiny where they sort of retold the same story. I wonder if there's a song that predates Devil Went Down to Georgia that has that conceit. Like, what is the origin? Not the Robert Johnson selling your soul to the devil at the crossroads for talent.
Yeah.
The Faustian bargain.
Yeah.
But the competition of the devil and the narrator having a rock off of some sort or playing their instruments
Yeah. And then you beat I mean, now you are right. That literally is Crossroads, the movie. What you said right there.
Right.
That is
competition versus competition. The devil.
Yes, not selling of the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't predate this. And I also wonder if this is an original by the Charlie Daniels Band or if they're doing a cover of a
More standard song. That's a great question. I mean,
obviously it's the most famous version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing played, this was like a, I don't know if it was number one, but this is a top 10 hit.
Yeah. But that story just works.
Yeah.
It's one of those classic stories. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it wasn't a song, but when Jesus got into a rock off.
Oh, yeah.
The famous rock off with the Jesus.
Yeah. We don't know what the music was because we just have the text.
No.
But, yeah.
That text is sacred.
Right. When he was like, it's like he's spent 40 days in the desert. And yes. The devil's like, now we have to have a rock off. And Jesus is like, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
I'm about to shred.
Yeah, watch me cook.
Yeah. So, yes, thank you for bringing that.
Sure.
Now into the table. I mentioned a little bit about backward masking before.
Yes.
You know what backward masking is?
It's the devil, the devil music behind the song.
It's a key component of the early 80s Satanic Panic, as was heavy metal music, obviously, as was Dungeons and Dragons, because again, there were demons in it. I mean, there were monsters that you would fight along with ghouls and goblins and things.
Well, you know the whole,
Mazes and Monsters movie starring Tom Hanks.
I saw that as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, did it scare you?
It scared the fuck out of me because Tom Hanks went insane. Killed the guy.
Yeah. I was a kid in the 90s. I remember sort of getting introduced to a version of D&D that my friend had us play in sixth grade where we basically just like made up the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my mom was very upset that I had played.
Of course she D&D. Was. Makes sense.
This was even way past the Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
This is the mid-90s, early to mid-90s. Yeah. But anyway, D&D was a part of it, heavy metal music. And there was this concept of backward masking where a lot of scared Christian parents were told that heavy metal records and rock and roll records, if you play them backwards, have messages of Satanism.
Yes.
That are subliminal messages that are there to convert your children to worship the devil and kill themselves and kill each other and commit acts of evil. Like premarital sex.
That's bad.
With a condom.
That's wrong.
Like if you're going to have premarital sex as a teenager, like don't also commit a double sin by using protection.
Yeah, just, you know. See what
happens. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Just like, raw dog it.
Hit it raw. And
if it happens, it happens.
The way God intended.
Yeah.
But anyway, the person who taught them that backward masking is the thing was, do you know who Paul Crouch is?
No.
He was, he's basically Eli Gemstone from The Righteous Gemstones. He was the preacher who like had a TV network of his own, which I think still exists. And so he was like a TV preacher. So we're going to watch a clip from the early 80s of Paul Crouch, on his Christian TV network. And his guest is there to explain. And
this was like his expert.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got like a reel to reel with him and he's going to show us the hidden messages in Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, I can't
and this
wait.
Is like, if not the origin of this, then an early, like, parents need to know about this.
Yeah.
So this is a clip from 1983, which again, this is after Iron Maiden puts out Number of the Beast. And they're talking about Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven.
Which is the 70s.
Like, why are you even talking about subliminal messages when we've already gotten to the point where the songs are overtly about Satanism?
It's already there. You don't need to go subliminal.
Yeah.
It's literally right there.
So this is just like extra hilarious.
Fast forward now.
Oh, look at this jabroni.
Kind of get a feel for the song.
Very He's a dweeb.
You know,
he's a nerd and a loser.
Interesting guitar.
I noticed one little phrase here, because you know sometimes words have two meanings.
Right.
That's in the second verse there. That really caught my...
Yeah, that's... Any word that has multiple meanings
is a satanic trick. I mean, that's just a given.
Yeah. Words should only have one meaning.
You could only
in the Bible. That's what God says.
Yes.
Double meaning words.
Beelzebub.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Evil. Like, I can do something. I'm able to do it.
Yeah.
but also a drink comes in a can.
Yeah.
Cans are the devil.
Cool.
Cans are the devil.
Temperature and something that is fun.
I am able to do things and I drink from a glass because cans are the devil. It's a double meaning. I don't fuck with double
meanings. I don't fuck with double meanings because that means I follow the devil.
Thanks, Paul Crouch.
And I think, you know, we've proved that tonight. Revolution number 9 has
turned. Revolution number 9.
Evidently, earlier in the segment, they proved that the Beatles were Satan because of Revolution 9.
In medieval times, the West was the direction of hell because that's where the sun died in the West. Sun was born in the East. That was the direction of heaven.
Cite your sources.
Yeah. I look to the West, and my spirit is crying for leaving. And I'll read the last.
Look at the guy shaking his head like it's terrible. It's terrible what we're doing. By the way, give me money.
It's Led Zeppelin. All their songs are about going to California. Yeah, that's exactly. All they talk about.
Did you not know that?
Robert Plant was obsessed with Los Angeles.
Oh, there walks a lady we all know who shines white light and wants to show how everything still turns to gold.
You're ruining the song.
And if you listen very hard, the tune will come to you at last. When all are one and one is all, to be a rock and not to roll.
You know what?
Like, he's just saying it with, like, C. Like, this tone of, like... Just
it's just read it.
Yeah,
just read
it. It's all right there. That's satanic.
It's I tell you what, I'm glad I'm listening to this because I actually do like Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
And I don't really know the lyrics, so he's kind of helping me go, oh, okay, this is what they're singing, because I could never really tell what they were singing.
That's so funny because I really don't like Stairway to Heaven.
I like Stairway.
Even at the peak of me being into Zeppelin, I always skipped
Stairway. I'm here for Stairway to Heaven.
But like just the way he's reading it, like you could read anything in that tone of voice.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, I do not like them. Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. And shaking my head.
Seltzer water.
Listen to those words.
Zero calories.
Zero calories.
Zero. I mean, just wake up. Just wake up.
Sheep.
All right. Now, listen very hard. Play this backwards.
Right. To get critics even, you know, or the skeptics, to show them what I'm going to do. I've actually taken the exact piece of tape that you just heard it off of, and I've reverse-threaded the machine, and I'm going to play that exact piece of tape backwards.
This guy's like, this is technologically advanced stuff here.
So again, if you're a skeptic, if you're a critic, if you think that he's full of shit, he's going to play the tape for you. You listen with your own ears, Kirk.
Yeah.
Get ready to have your fucking mind blown.
Yeah.
Because it's so obvious that this is the
why you didn't know this before.
Yeah. Why you didn't... reverse the tape on your reel-to-reel at home to discover
if
music played
because
backwards.
Because all of us kids had reel-to-reel tapes in 83.
All right, let's go ahead and start.
Right there.
He stopped the tape. Did you hear it? Didn't you hear it? What did you hear?
Sally awaits.
Satan awaits.
I heard something there.
See, even he's just like, that sounded bad, but maybe you should tell me what it's...
Yeah, if you tell me what it is, I'll agree with you.
I live with Satan, exactly.
Yeah.
You might want to turn it up just...
I definitely heard something. Yep, I live with Satan. That's what he said. Heard that.
No, exactly.
Every time he plays a clip, he doesn't wait for them to say what they heard. He just goes... It says the words like, see, Satan, that he says this. I live with Satan.
I love the woman next to him who's like just looking at the crowd like concerned.
She's just really upset.
She's like, oh my God, this is real.
They're inviting Satan into their home here.
It's a little out here on the floor. I live with Satan. Listen again.
Yeah, now that I've told you what to listen
for. Yeah, now you're going to hear it.
Let's see if you hear it. Oh my God!
Clutching my pearls. That's literally I live with Satan.
Oh my God! Clutch the pearls.
Okay, so I live with Satan. Somebody in the audience heard that.
I'm raising my hand right here.
No, don't pull them before you tell them.
Yeah.
Hey, one person in the audience, tell us what you heard. I definitely heard.
I definitely learned a thing.
Now let's get that vote on videotape here. How many actually heard that?
Yep. Oh, everybody raised it. I totally heard it. Right. After he told me what to listen for, I definitely heard that.
Yeah. I love the woman's now like, I can't. Her head's in her hands. Like,
literally, she's got her face in her hands. She's like, I can't deal with it.
Either that or she's just laughing, going, oh my God.
Before he tells us what we just heard, what did you hear?
Can you go back?
Sure. Because it's definitely not gobbledygook. It's not English being sung, played yeah. in reverse.
All right. Let's go on.
Nope, got nothing.
No, because these people are so stupid. This is the dumbest thing.
Try another piece. This is something.
Try another piece because there's nothing there.
No, we didn't even.
Chirpy Alpin?
Okay.
Someone in the audience, yeah, I heard that. Chirpy Alpin. Chirpy Alpin. I heard him say Chirpy Alpin.
A classic, a second name for Satan.
Voting
here, they're hearing it. People took this seriously, yeah. Kirk.
Oh yeah, it was there. It's amazing. I love to. I think I don't know if I ever heard this or someone was like, a rock star was like, why would I go put the extra effort to do that?
That's what Robert Plant said. Any of them were like, yeah, that's so dumb. Like, why would we bother doing that? Like, how could you even...
Why would we put the time in? Because unless you can't hear it on a record, you couldn't hear it. So why?
No, the idea is that it's subliminal messaging. That if you listen to it forwards, you're still hearing it and it's subliminal.
Yeah.
It's just the dumbest thing in the world. But it's also sort of like, it reminds me of that thing that came about in the 90s of... watching The Wizard of Oz while you listen to Dark Side of the Moon and they sync up.
Yes.
Which is like, yeah, certain things kind of do if you're looking for it. Yeah. Obviously, it's a coincidence. But the real question is, like, who discovered that?
Yeah.
It's not even how and why would Led Zeppelin bother doing this, but who's the person who was like, I wonder if I play records backwards if there are messages. Mm. And then, like, listening for things and writing down sort of what they, like.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
For a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Try that for you. Slow it down.
Oh, when you slow it down.
Escaping it.
There's no escaping it.
Oh, there's no escaping it.
Yeah, okay, but also.
So yeah, no escaping one.
What?
Cancer?
Yeah,
even
yeah, why is that necessarily?
Yeah, it could be anything.
Satan. Listen. There's no escaping. He did say there's no escaping it.
It the devil. Satan.
The devil.
Is actually, and it makes me wonder, when he says, and it makes me wonder, backwards is translated into there's no escaping it.
Yes, translated.
it's translated.
From the infernal language. Yeah.
I heard putting my cleats on.
All right,
did you hear it? Again, not saying what you heard. No, just
you guys heard it.
We totally heard that. I mean, yeah. Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Now he's going to tell us what we heard.
You'll hear, here's to my sweet Satan. You'll hear some words, which I could take time to tell you what they are, but I won't.
That's like classic.
Like, it's just the worst grift I've ever seen.
I could explain
yeah,
it to you.
But there's
no time.
But
there's
listen
no
time. To where he says sweet Satan.
You'll hear there's power in Satan. And let's just
go on. Like, not even when I hear it.
There's power in Satan.
The woman just literally clutched her pearls.
They are.
And, you know, again, I can't explain this. I don't know why it's saying that. let's go on.
I don't know why it's saying that.
I can't explain it, but let's keep going.
All right, I'll end it there. I think that gives you an idea.
He's just like, enough said.
Yeah, like,
Yep. Case closed.
Don't debate me, because you lose.
Led Zeppelin hid satanic messages in their songs to get your kids to do Satan.
To do Satan things.
Yeah. So that was...
That's amazing. Did you ever... there was a Saturday Night Live skit way back when with Eddie Murphy, where Eddie Murphy... was like, I'm the fifth Beatle. I played saxophone on the Beatles.
Oh, I vaguely remember.
And they like took out all my music and stole it.
Yeah.
And there's like, there's even a subliminal message about it. And then they play the song backwards. I Want to Hold Your Hand Backwards. And it's basically going, hey, let's get Clarence out of the band.
Let's get
And he just goes, see?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it came, a lot of, before they started to say that there was satanic messaging in music. An early accusation of backwards masking, of course, is the Paul is dead theory that some Beatles fans thought that Paul McCartney was killed or died and was replaced with a lookalike, which everything is old is new again because now they're saying that happened with Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, that was like 5 years ago. Now it's come back again.
Yeah, weird rumors that just get recycled through the generations. Mm-hmm. But part of it is that there were messages in the songs, Beatles songs, if you play them backwards, it says like Paul is dead.
Yeah.
And, you know. But now they're saying, no, actually it's the devil's... It's just the dumbest thing, but it's such a classic thing. But also because, as you mentioned, you were there for the heyday of Satanic Panic. Like, what do you remember? Were your parents freaked out? Did you have friends whose parents were freaked out?
No.
And told them, like, they weren't allowed to listen to rock records?
None.
Or, no.
None of it. None of that. Like, we heard it.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what? Because we were like, they're like subliminal messages. And all of us were like, well, wait, how do you hear it? We, like, because we were too, like, we still don't get it.
Right. You have to, like... If you just have a vinyl album, you have to physically move it backwards with your finger to hear it, and it's like...
Yeah. And also, I gotta be honest, by then, 82, 83, we were all listening to cassettes. So it wasn't really like... You weren't really buying records to do that, and like, the devil music, we were just like... There, like, I think I've said this before, there was... In Cleveland, there's the Metro Parks, which is just like these parks in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one nearby us... And someone's like, oh, there's devil worship in there.
I mean, we always tried
to go find him. Yes. It was just always just kids partying. There was never any devil worshipers. It's just kids drinking beer in a bonfire.
That is also a classic thing. It's just like, in the woods.
Yeah.
They like sacrifice cats. And then we would go and look for like, I don't know what we thought we'd find. Like upside down crosses carved into tree trunks or something. But yeah, there were always rumors that like, there are devil worshippers in the park at night. Like that's just...
Never happened.
But again, it's just Halloween shit. It's like playing Bloody Mary in the bathroom mirror or whatever. It's
There's
just
nothing.
Spooky things that kids do.
Yeah. But there was a panic, but the panic that we always heard was just the news. Like, it was always just on the news. It was never like, my parents were never like, you can't listen to this or that, or you're banned from shit.
Yeah, I put this clip on the show, on this episode, instead of one of many... old news reports from local news being like, heavy metal music, is it satanic?
Yes.
Your kids could be in danger. Mm-hmm. And it's like a 5 minute statement.
That's literally what we would hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure in the South and in more
rural
Christian
areas,
communities,
yeah.
it was like a much bigger deal.
Probably.
But for me, you know, my family was Catholic and my parents were like strict about what we could or couldn't listen to or watch on TV. But my parents love Led Zeppelin. Like, it wasn't it wasn't that sort of fundamentalist Christian thing.
Exactly.
Extreme. I doubt they ever, for a fraction of a second in their lives, thought that backward masking wasn't the phoniest of balonies.
Yes. Like, exactly.
But it's an important part of Satanism.
Yeah.
So, okay. That said, I mentioned earlier that there are really hardcore.
Yes.
Black metal bands that are truly satanic.
Right.
So let's watch some of that.
Is this
Gorgoroth? We've watched them before.
That's why I recognize the name.
And I almost didn't want to, for a while I was going to do Deicide, which is death metal as opposed to black metal. Do you know the difference?
No.
There are some certain differences, but the quickest way to explain it is death metal is like this.
All right.
And black metal is like this.
I know exactly what you're saying. I hate both, but I know exactly. I'm like, okay, that's, yeah.
Here's the other difference. Black metal comes from Scandinavia.
Because it's cold.
D- death metal comes from Florida.
Because it's trash.
I mean, they're both cool in their own ways, but also black metal is more overtly satanic.
Yes.
Whereas death metal is more just sort of like gore and horror, yeah. And there's a satanic element to it. And Deicide is an overtly satanic band.
Mm.
But ultimately, I decided I think Gorgoroth is better representative of Satanism.
Yeah, because they kind of, because they mean it.
Yeah, they have, like, you'll see, this is a live performance. It's different from the one that we watched years ago, but it's similar in that there are people crucified on stage.
Yeah.
And animal skulls and heads and blood and things on stage. And also black metal is more, it's more costumey. They have makeup and spiky accessories.
That's
and stuff.
Right,
and
yeah.
Death metal is just sort of like, kind of like, biker dude,
yeah,
vibes.
I get what
more,
you're saying.
You know?
Yep.
So this to me is more. This is Satan.
Okay.
And this is their song, Godseed.
This,
and look at the
look
size
at
of the
fucking,
crowd.
This is like Wembley Stadium size. Oh, this guy is.
Norwegians love their black metal,
yeah.
And they do it the best.
Wow, I mean that's a big fucking crowd.
Yeah. Nude women on crucifixes on stage. That's good stagecraft. That's Gal, the lead singer of Gorgoroth.
I mean, there's a lot of bang for your buck in this presentation.
Yeah.
Like, this costs money.
I mean, A plus for effort. They don't, they're not half-assed.
I mean, the lighting, the makeup, the skulls, this budget is a lot.
Those are freshly butchered pig's heads. They can't reuse that for the whole tour. They need fresh heads
every
for every
concert.
Show.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Their stage presence is very subdued.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm wondering, is it because it's just that's what the Icelandic personality is subdued? Or is this because everything is so outlandish, they're just
going
to...
Well, it's not thrash. It's not speed metal.
But it's so fast.
Well,
like, they're very, they're very casual up there.
I don't think casual is the word. It's more just like... They're
just,
stalking around
okay.
the stage,
I guess
right?
I
it's menacing.
I don't find it menacing.
Yeah.
But I find it very casual. Very, almost lethargic.
Well, Idle Hands.
Yeah. It's devil.
Yeah. Sloth is one of the seven deadly sins.
It's very true. So they're encompassing it.
There's no seven, there's no sin that says like, yeah, moving around real fast is,
yeah.
This is
the,
evil.
I'm always fascinated about, like, how it's because it's so fast.
Yeah.
How hard is that to play?
It's, I mean, they're not that fast. They're not even as fast as, like, Metallica or some of the speed metal bands.
Okay.
But,
I mean, it sounds like they're playing the same thing over and over, but, like, you gotta really, that's endurance.
That's like the Ramones, like, Marky Ramone said about the Ramones. It's like, yeah, people talk about how easy it is to play because from a musical standpoint it doesn't get more basic.
Yeah.
But physically to do an
exactly.
entire concert
yeah.
at that speed, like all those downstrokes or playing the drums at that speed for 45 minutes, an hour and a half, is punishing.
Yeah, like Satan.
Yeah.
But that's a very good point because there's no moment where the next song is like, we're going to bring it down for y'all.
No.
It's all this level.
There's no ballads coming from Gorgoroth.
Gorgoroth.
Gal does a lot of screaming and shrieking.
He's the most casual one.
But he's menacing. He's cool.
I just don't see it. He seems very cash.
So do you like this? I mean,
no.
Would you dance to this?
Would
you jog to this?
No. Right now, all I can think of is like the naked people with their masks. I'm like, are they like, it's a good gig.
I'm sure they're well paid.
Yeah, I'm sure they're like, I just gotta be naked.
Or they're fans.
That was my next question.
And they just
question.
Like recruit fans to do it.
And they're like, this is the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
And that guy's like, don't get a hard on. Don't get a hard on.
It is, you know, it's what they're doing it the best.
Yes.
You know?
Also,
is this my kind of thing? Do I listen to black metal? No, I do not.
Yeah.
I don't really ever want to listen to this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that said, I think it completely rules. I'm glad it exists. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't casually listen to black metal while I'm just working during the day. It's not good background music. But, like, I think it's so fucking cool. Like, Gorgoroth rules. You saw that. That I was mean, great.
Rules is
I wouldn't go to a Gorgoroth concert, but, like, I love to watch it on YouTube and be like, wow, these guys are really giving it their all.
It's fascinating.
It's
to
fascinating.
See. And so many questions of, like, what are your, like, what's band practice like?
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, okay, we guys got band practice, we're just going to go to the studio for a couple hours. Are they just in, like, joggers? And, like, you know, like...
Oh, they just show up in their t-shirts
they have, and they're like, not tea, going
folky shit.
Yeah, I'm sure tea, there's some fruit there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just very fascinated by
that. Well, Gaul is not in the band anymore, and I believe that there was, like, a falling. There was a, you know... It wasn't like an amicable split.
Someone wasn't satanic enough.
Yeah, something like that.
You're not bringing it, man.
Well, there was also a thing where Gaul's gay, and he came out after the band was already famous and mm-hmm. popular. And, like, a lot of the homophobic fans were very angry that Gaul was homosexual. And his response was like, I've been satanic. He's like... I've been worshiping Satan this whole time.
That's your problem? I'm gay?
But, like, why wouldn't I embrace what the Bible says is a sin? Like, you're cool with all the Satanism, but now that I'm gay, you have a problem.
That's the ick?
He's just like, you're all idiots.
Wow.
So I kind of love that stance, too. It's that's like, what a bunch of morons.
Yeah.
They're not even good Satanists.
No, you guys are doing it wrong.
Like, being homophobic doesn't make sense in any context.
No. So dumb.
Okay, let's move on to a bigger pop hit.
Fuck yeah, we are.
And maybe my favorite song by this band.
Wow.
Maybe.
That's amazing. Like, this is a good song to me, but I mean, there's a lot of really good In Excess songs.
Yeah.
This one is good to me.
This is Devil Inside by In Excess.
This song.
From Kick.
This album.
Yeah.
First of all, this album went 6 times platinum.
There's a lot of good songs
on that album. And this whole album. Everyone listened to this album in 86, 87.
Yeah.
It was that big. And it had 4 top 10 hits in the States alone.
Let me see if I can name them.
Yeah.
Devil Inside.
Yep.
Never Tear Us Apart.
Yep.
I can picture the video and I'm blanking on the song.
It's my favorite song off Kick.
It's like the biggest hit. Why can't I think? Just say it.
I Need You Tonight.
That's the one.
And then,
Need You Tonight. And then what's the fourth
one? Oh, I got to look it up because I just forgot it. It's not Kick.
So if Devil Inside isn't my favorite, the other contender for my favorite is not from Kick. It's...
Would it be Suicide Blonde? Is that what you like?
No, it's Don't Change.
Oh, Don't Change is before.
Yeah.
New Sensation.
Oh, right.
That's a great fucking song.
Yeah.
So to me, like, Devil Inside I really like, but out of those four, that would be the one I would pick as four.
It's 100% my favorite In Excess song on that album.
Mine would be Need You Tonight.
Yeah, but...
But that doesn't have Devil in it, and this does.
Yeah, and this is a cool music video.
It's a great one.
Right away, there's an image of a devil, but this is like a Mexican ogre mask.
Yeah, well, I can't remember. There's a specific name for that.
Yeah, but it's filling in for the devil right here. And this is a song about, if not Satan, literally, just the evil inside all of us. Which is,
every single one of us
has the devil inside.
Devil inside.
Yeah. Oh, it was on the back of Michael's head.
Yeah, you didn't
know
that, did you? That's crazy evil. I have not watched this video in the longest time.
I have because Katie and I ended up watching a bunch of In Excess videos recently.
When I made my In Excess playlist a year ago, I was like, oh my god, this was on.
I mean, that riff is just so legendary.
This band was so big.
Yeah.
And so just tight. And like, again.
I mean, the songs are good.
Yeah.
The hooks are giant.
Yeah.
The lead singer is sexy. And the vocals are good.
Like, yeah.
He has all the riz in the world and...
Yep. They're kind of funky, but they rock. I love that this is your favorite off the album.
Oh, it's the coolest one.
It's a great song.
I also love that the rest of the band are dweebs.
Yeah.
Michael Hutchins he hogged all the sexiness in this band.
I mean, it's insane how charismatic he was.
Yeah.
See, they're talking about evil.
And the music video is like set in a nightclub and...
Yeah.
You know,
it's another one of those like, what is this video in the 80s?
Oh, it's also the song where they say the name of the album. Yeah. It's like when you're watching a movie and they say that this character says the title.
He'd love it.
He said, look at him kick, and look this is from kick. The album Kick.
Never mind that there's a song called Kick on it.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Every single one of us. We all dweeb, right as well as a dweeb.
Yeah. But like a cool dweeb, like an Elvis Costello.
Yeah, yeah, a dweeb that pulls.
Yeah. He's the one playing that fucking kick-ass guitar.
Oh, it's so good. And they had a saxophone player too.
Yeah.
They had it all.
They really are one of those bands that like your parents could like, your granny could like. I can't imagine. Who is the person who's like, In Excess sucks?
I never knew anyone who was just like, they suck. Like, there were guys in theater who were listening to, like, you know, Hoodoo Gurus, but were like, oh, In Excess Kick is amazing.
Yeah, it's just good.
Yeah.
But if anything, like you said, they've sort of gotten, if not forgotten about,
I think,
like,
they just straight up got forgotten.
They don't have legendary status, so I think probably Gen Z doesn't know who they are.
No, they do not. I think it's because by the early 90s, it's a little bit of a wrap.
Yeah.
Like, they still, like, recorded till, before Michael Hutchins died. So, like, he died in 97, so they were still recording, but it was lesser.
There are bands who were earlier, had shorter careers and fewer hits, and are still better known. It doesn't make sense that In Excess isn't as big.
I think maybe they were a little nondescript, except for Michael Hutchins. But, like, from early 80s to, like, late 80s, they fucking own. It's just so many big hits.
Yeah. I would bet that there are even people my age, like even older millennials, who, if you said In Excess, they'd be like, I never heard of them. Probably if you played the songs, they'll be like, oh yeah, I love that song.
Oh, those great.
But they don't know who In Excess is, you know?
To share.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit lost time. And their hits were massive. This was a massive hit. This, I think, was a number two.
Oh, this wasn't a number one?
This was a number one. It was a number two.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, see, there's a bike. The motorcycles are devil bikes.
Oh, yeah. That's the devil's vehicle. Nightclubs are the devil's playground.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all sinners. They're going home to fornicate.
Yeah. I mean, this song really is just about fucking.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to fuck because everyone has the devil inside them.
But then it's got, like, this upbeat piano, electric piano solo.
So good. They knew how to do rock and roll pop.
Because they're converting teens to Satanism, is what they're doing.
This is what, really, if you want to convert a teen, just put in a pop song with a sexy guy as the lead singer.
Because here's the thing. Iron Maiden, not sexy.
No.
Like, those were a bunch of Joe's Bag of Donuts.
Yeah. You're not following them anywhere.
Dumb costumes.
Yeah. Michael Hutchins just goes, hey, I'm going to this church of Satan. Do you want to come?
And you're like, yeah, I'll follow you anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now, if you're wired a certain way, Gorgoroth might be sexy.
Yeah. That's a different
thing. You're into a very specific thing.
Yeah.
But Michael Hutchins is sexy for anyone, regardless of gender or stated sexual preference. Yeah. He's a sex god, and that's all there is to it.
Sex on a platter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really know how. They really knew hooks.
The song doesn't need to be 5 minutes and 20 seconds.
No, for the first time that just hit me. He's like, guys, you could have done four.
As much as I like it, that could have been edited down.
That outro.
Yeah,
wrap it up.
Yeah,
that's the evil of the song.
Ooh,
the outro.
All songs over 5 minutes are satanic.
Devil songs.
Yeah, I thought that would be a good palate cleanser after Gorgoroth.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that Sammy Davis Jr. actually was a Satanist?
I've heard rumors.
Yes. It's not just rumors. It's true. He eventually left the Church of Satan, but he was a member for a brief period of the Church of Satan, which is to say LaVeyan Satanism, which is not actually satanic. You know Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan in San Francisco?
No.
It's not really, like, it's an atheistic organization that basically just preaches, like, hedonism. Like,
it's like just
their message is the
good.
Greatest good is whatever is pleasurable to you.
Okay.
And they don't. Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan, is like, I don't believe that Satan exists. I'm an atheist.
But everyone took that as because do what feels good and be hedonistic, that's satanic.
Yeah, so most Americans who they identify as Satanists are members of the Church of Satan, which doesn't really believe in Satan. And that's the organization that Stevie Wonder, Sammy Davis Jr. actually was a member of briefly.
Oh, wow. I know. And
he also starred in a satanic pilot.
Oh.
What?
I said he had his famous song about old black magic.
Right, yeah, sure, yeah.
Satan.
He was totally, yeah. Well, a Satanist that parents never saw coming.
Exactly.
Sammy Davis Jr. was the one who might actually try to convert your children
yes.
to the Church of Satan. No, in the 70s, he started, I believe this was intended as a pilot and didn't go and became a TV movie.
Oh, okay.
It's called Poor Devil, and Sammy Davis Jr. plays a demon who has to, like, get souls for Lucifer. He works for Lucifer, but he, like, works in the mailroom.
Oh, so he's kind of like an underdog.
It's a lot like It's a Wonderful Life, where Clarence is like, this is your last chance to get your wings, Clarence. And he's sort of this, like, hapless angel.
Yeah.
Sammy Davis Jr. plays a hapless demon in hell. And Christopher Lee's in it, and it's this weird, like, satanic comedy.
Wow, the 70s were a weird time.
Yeah, so we're just going to watch a clip of Poor Devil from the official Sammy Davis Jr. YouTube channel.
This is going to be
just
exciting.
A couple minutes from the beginning of Poor Devil. I can't find the movie, like, streaming or anything to watch the whole thing, but I do want to watch the thing. Because usually, I unironically think that Sammy Davis Jr. is one of the realest dudes to ever do it. I love Sammy Davis Jr.
I fucking love Sammy Davis
Jr. He's so super talented and so cool.
Crazy.
And he was a Satanist. So this is Poor Devil.
And oh my God, this is great.
Well, of course hell is like a bureaucratic nightmare,
of
right?
Of course, because it is. Yeah. I would kill to see this.
All new arrivals entering on 7-year contracts must have the aforementioned forms, as well as notarized copies of contracts or documented proof.
Oh, there he is.
Literally shoveling coal into
this
the
This literally looks like it was made for a dollar. Yeah. Yeah.
The phone is hot.
The phone is hot.
So he burned his hand when he picked up the phone.
That's a good bit,
Sammy.
That's
a good gag.
Sammy.
Hi, baby. Remember the man that you've been watching? The one that you keep insisting is a hot prospect?
Yeah.
Well, I got him here on the monitor, and you were right.
Really?
He's exactly what you've been waiting for. Can you come up right now?
Oh, honey, if I come up there now and Lucifer catches me, I'm going to be in all kinds
of trouble. Am I on drugs?
I mean, this is like a fever dream, right?
This is great, but am I...
I really want to watch the whole
thing. Yeah.
Also, hell looks fun.
Oh, she's
even though it's bureaucratic, she's a fox.
His girlfriend is hot.
He looks great with his vest and his medallion. It's like, wow.
And he's fairly old here.
He's, I think, in his 50s, maybe early 50s.
Honey, you can't get more trouble than what you are right now. Come on up, Sammy.
You're right.
See you. I just love that, like, yeah, your name's Sammy.
Yeah. Why mess with perfection? He gives the sign of the horns.
Oh. Gets his jacket.
Yeah.
This is fucking great.
Guest star.
Wow, this really is a pun.
Christopher Lee.
That's good tracking. Yeah. Adam West. Wow. 70s were a glorious time.
And Gino Conforti.
Oh, I recognize him.
He
from
was
like,
one of those TV character asses. Emily Yancey, I don't know. But
smoke
she's,
show.
Yeah.
Madeline Rouche looks familiar. Ah, Jack Klugman.
Jack Klugman is, I believe, the character who Sammy tries to claim his soul.
Okay. Wow, this was a pilot?
I believe it was, it aired as a TV movie because it didn't go.
I will pay top dollar to see this.
Imagine if it had gone. There could have been a TV series with Sammy Davis Jr. playing a devil who every week would try to claim a different person's soul.
I would watch that all the time.
Why didn't that go?
Fucking Hollywood's so dumb. So dumb.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't want to court controversy.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's so interesting about that clip to me is watching Sammy Davis Jr. make the sign of the horns. Because it's such a, like, rock and roll metal thing to do when you're seeing a member of the Rat Pack, like, it's like, that's cool. That's a cool thing to do. But of course, the sign of the horns is one of the most enduring symbols of quote unquote the devil in rock and roll music.
Yes.
And its invention as a symbol for rock and roll is credited to the late great Ronnie James Dio.
I had heard that.
He's the one who first did it in rock and roll. Yeah. Now it's just, now it basically just means rock and roll.
Yes.
Like when someone does this, it doesn't mean the devil so much as just like rock.
This is something that's cool.
Yeah.
Like I also saw with the thumb out too.
Yeah, I think, well,
this is traditional.
Officially, the thumb doesn't go out.
Okay.
The thumb is in.
Yes.
But, and I say that because Dio didn't invent this. He brought it to rock and roll.
Okay.
But it comes from somewhere else. And there's a clip here where he's going to explain where it comes from. I have to move the mic closer to the speakers because the volume's real low on this clip. But this is just him at like a festival or an outdoor concert being interviewed. And he explains the meaning
of the devil horn.
The origin of the devil horns.
One of the things Ronnie is known for is inventing the devil horns, the most enduring symbol of heavy metal culture.
I'm of Italian extraction, and my grandmother, my grandfather, on both sides of both my mother's and father's side, came to America from Italy, and they had superstitions. And I would always see my grandmother when I was a little kid, you know, with her holding my hand and walking down the street, and she would see someone and go, what's that? And eventually learned that it was called the Maloik. And the Maloik was, someone's giving us the evil eye.
It's the evil eye.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever heard of that? The
no.
I don't think it's just an Italian thing. I think a lot of like old world traditions have that thing. But that's what it was. You would sort of ward off
and someone giving
you
the evil.
If you see someone you don't like, or it, well, it's both casting the evil eye at someone
and repelling,
and warding off the evil eye. But that's what that hand gesture
is. I didn't know what that was for.
It's pointed forward a little bit more than like the rock and roll was sort of held up. So it looks more like horns. But yeah, it's the Italian evil eye. Did you know that Dio was Italian?
No.
Really, the fact that he's like 5'6 wasn't a...
he's so soft-spoken,
he's such
too.
A tiny... Yeah, and he's such a, like, gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Dio.
Just give you the protection against the evil eye. Or you can give someone the evil eye, too.
Okay.
So invent it, no. But perfect it and make it important, yes, because I did it so much, especially within the confines of that great band, Sabbath, which had this incredible name already, and you put that together with what people think it is.
Yeah.
But for me, because I'm lucky enough to have kind of... just have done it so much, it's been more equated with me than anyone else. Although Gene Simmons will tell you that he invented it. But then again, Gene invented breathing and
shoes. Because Gene Simmons is a dick.
Yeah, I love that at the end he just takes a shot at Gene Simmons because Gene Simmons sucks.
Yeah.
Well, Gene Simmons will tell you that he invented it, but he also invented breathing and shoes. So
I love that. Like that. So they made it a hot line.
Yep.
Rio made it a hot song. Dio made it a hot song.
Yeah.
He's the one that came in and made it popular.
Yes, that's right.
That's cool.
Yes, he took an old Italian superstition and made it the sign
because
of Satan.
Because if you think about
it,
there's a world where if his grandmother never did that, then this would never be a thing in music.
That's right.
You know?
I mean, it's possible that some other Italian kid might have done it.
Yeah.
It's also unclear, like, did what his intention... Like, did he intend it to be, like, the sign of the horns?
Yeah.
Like, the devil. But or like he said, he was just doing it as, like, a stage gesture, but he was in the band Black Sabbath, so
I
it
feel
seemed,
like that's what it is.
It seemed like it was interpreted that way, or and did he intend it that way?
I almost feel like they interpreted it, and he's like, well, I'm just going to lean into this.
Yeah.
Man, and that's will be the thing.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's eclipsed him. People do this. They don't know
they
who Dio is.
They do it for everything.
They
do it in sporting events.
Yeah, yeah. It's just rock. It's just a celebratory
it's a
gesture.
Rock on. Like, if you go, if you pan college sports, you'll get college students just doing it again.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with music.
Well, also, I think the University of Texas does it.
Yeah, well, they do
the hook 'em horns.
Yeah,
and I think
that's
the thumb, the thumb going out.
Yeah, but like you'll see it at like basketball games and stuff. If you go to the crowd, they do it.
Yeah.
You know? It's just the universal thing of this is cool.
They don't even realize that they're worshiping Satan when they do it.
That's the subliminal message.
That's how they get your
that's
kids.
That's how they get you. Not
they
the back.
Trick them into Satanism.
Yep.
But yeah, that was just a little history lesson of Satanism in rock. That I thought was important to explain what Sammy Davis Jr. was doing.
Well, yes, what Sammy Davis was actually doing.
Yeah. So here's another funny clip of another interview that I found. I don't even know what I searched for on YouTube. Maybe just like Satanism in music or something.
And you
like
got
that.
This. Wow, this is a twofer. Yeah. This is a back-to-back.
Oh. Vanilla Ice in two episodes in a row. I wanted to find something that wasn't like rock or heavy metal. Because, you know, there's plenty of that. But we got Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
We got Robert Johnson. And we got Vanilla Ice. And this is just a clip from an interview of him talking about the time at the peak of his career when he was stalked by a Satanist. And I thought this was a pretty funny story.
I was in Wembley Arena, three sold-out shows in Wembley. And there was a girl that was in a trench coat, and she was butt naked underneath the trench coat. And front row. So I'm sitting there performing, and she was flashing me. Every time I would look her way, flash, flash, flash. And
oh, come on, Robert. That happened at every show.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Didn't have to happen at every, I mean, like.
She looked pretty good, you know? And so she got my attention. I mean, I'm like, wow, okay.
He was like, wow.
Yeah, wow, boobs.
You know, it's a concert. People do that, the crazy things. But it gets crazy. So I'm going from Wembley Arena to America. I have three shows in America before I go to Japan. It's this world tour, so it's like little stops here and there. So anyway, I'm on my way to Japan. On the plane flight, I hear this screaming and yelling. I turn around, and I see this girl on the flight, on the ground. I had security guards at the time because it gets crazy. I had my clothes ripped off of me many times.
I had security guards at the time because I was popular at the time.
Not anymore. I'm fine.
And there's this girl screaming and yelling on the ground, going, I gotta have him. I'm like, oh, a crazy fan on the airplane. Wow, okay. Didn't think much of it. I get to Japan. I hear a knock on the door, 3 o'clock in the morning. I go to the door. There's nobody there. I look down. There's a little book that was slid underneath the door. Okay, crazy fan. What is this, another note? I pick up the book. It's a satanic Bible. I look in there, and there's a message written to me. And I'm like, this is ridiculous, crazy, man. Things are just getting nuts. Didn't think much of it. Told my friends, haha, whatever. Next day, 3 o'clock, knock on the door again, Japan. I look out the hallway, and nobody's there. I'm like, what is going on? Another book with another message, satanic, right there.
They really want them. Me?
Now, at this point, I guess Robert Van Winkle is a good boy. Because honestly, if there was a crazy fan who'd been flashing me and looked good and was coming to my room at 3 o'clock in the morning and was a Satanist, I'd be like, maybe I'd answer the door.
Well, he did. She just keeps disappearing.
Well, you didn't get to the door fast enough.
Yeah.
All right. Next night, I changed rooms with my manager because just in case this happens again. Well, guess what? 3 o'clock. Knock, knock, knock. Okay? We had security guards at the actual elevator. This was the girl. We didn't have any idea it was a girl at the time, but this was the girl that was on the airplane, the same girl that was flashing me. They caught her in the hallway because she crawled up the fire escape to get on the floor. She knocked out the little lights down the hallway with a stick, glass everywhere. My guys come out of the room. My manager finds her, catches her in the hallway. She goes down to her knees and starts crying. And she sits there and she goes, oh, and all the guys hear the commotion, so they all come out of the room. Everybody's out of the room. We're all in the hallway surrounding this girl. And then I come out too, and I'm like, wow, is this the one that's been sliding these satanic Bibles under my door? And she goes, you can't have him. He's my destiny. And I'm like, oh my God. And everybody like moved back like 10 feet, and the hair on my back stood up. I'm like, what is going on? Is this exorcist? Is this for real? People do this? And sure enough, she was like freaking out, and she would snap back out of it, and she would be like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And I'm here. They found out she was from some satanic church in Ireland, and they sent her on a mission to come out here and get me to convert, all because of my birthday. She told the story right there. And my birthday's on Halloween, so it's Hallow's Eve to them, which is this big satanic holiday or whatever. I don't
because his birthday's on Halloween. Because
he was born on Halloween.
A church in Ireland wants to convert him to Satanism.
I believe that he is that the story is true that he told.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's probably a lone crazy person and not that the Church of Satan.
Yes, exactly.
Was sending someone to convert Vanilla Ice because he was born on Halloween.
Even the Church of Satan in Ireland knew that Vanilla Ice sucked.
If it's the Church of Satan and it's Levian Satanism again, Anton LaVey would be like, that's asinine. I would
Also, it's Vanilla Ice. We really don't want him.
That's what's so weird is, like, of all the stars, it's not fucking Gorgoroth. It's not some metal band. It's Vanilla Goddamn Ice that the Satanisms are, the Satanist is interested in.
It's because he sucks so bad that he has to be satanic.
He must be sent
He's so Satan. Dangerous, he must be sent from hell.
No, the situation is honestly scary. Not because the woman is purportedly a Satanist, but because this crazy fan stalked him on the plane, followed him on an international flight, climbed up the fire escape at his hotel room to get to him. That's all terrifying.
Yeah.
Regardless of her faith.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, this is a crazy person. Not because she worships Satan. That's cool. That part I'm into.
I tell you what's good.
Yeah.
Is that she didn't stalk him because she liked his music. She stalked him because she wanted to convert him. Because
she was sent on a mission.
She was sent on a mission.
She thinks.
Yeah.
She was sent on a mission. That's why I say, I'm sure he told the story as it happened that she said that, but it's probably just a fucking schizophrenic with voices in her head.
But wasn't
telling her to go find Vanilla
Ice. But not necessarily a fan.
Right, right.
She wasn't like, I love your music, I want to marry you.
Well, she did say that he was her destiny.
I thought that
you
was,
can't have.
I thought that was Satan coming out
maybe,
of her.
Maybe she didn't mean romantic destiny, but just, but yeah, man, shit gets wild when you're famous.
Yeah, even when you're Vanilla Ice.
If you even 30 years later, it's like, I don't know, man, you're pretty casual about it. Like,
yeah.
Isn't that a weird story?
It is weird. I mean, I'd be a little more scared.
She smashed all the lights and climbed up the fire escape.
Smashing all the lights with glass everywhere is the terrifying part.
Yeah, yeah. That is a motivated Satanist.
Yeah, that's someone who's like, I got a job to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Robbie Van Winkle's like, sorry, lady, not interested in Satan.
Rock and roll's crazy.
So, yeah, I thought that was
a funny
example of Satanism.
Yes.
So for our final clip.
Yes.
This is something I had never seen before until you sent it to me.
I'd never seen it either. So as I was doing, picking some videos, I was like, oh, I'm not, you know, everything's rock and roll Satan. There's not a lot of Satan R&B going on. There's not a lot of Satan rap.
Rock really has the market.
Really, rock has the market.
Yeah.
So I was like, huh. So I literally went to Google and wrote Satan smooth jazz. That was it. Because I was just like, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe there's a cover of some blues song that's smooth. We can play. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And up pop Van Halen, Running with the Devil, smooth jazz version. And I was like, well, this is going on our fucking podcast.
Sure.
So it's the real video of a live version of Van Halen at its peak with David Lee Roth doing Running with the Devil and the vocals, except someone changed up a lot of the music to make it sound smooth jazz.
Yeah, this is an unofficial remix.
Yes.
I looked at the channel that this came from, and this person does smooth jazz remixes of lots of songs.
Yes.
This one happens to be Running with the Devil, which fits our theme and is a great song.
Great song.
Is this from Van Halen? Is this from
Fair Warning, maybe?
So it's, what's the album that Jump is on?
That's 1984.
1984. This isn't on that?
No.
This is before that?
Yeah.
But it's not like first album stuff.
No.
It's 80s Van Halen.
It's like early 80s. It's like 81, 82.
Maybe. Which is just to say, I don't like, I cherry pick with Van Halen.
Okay.
I don't like Van Halen across the board,
mm-hmm.
but there are some songs that I really like, and this is one of them.
This is a great song.
And this is fun.
Did you listen to a little of it?
I listened to a little of it, not the whole thing, but it's just like, this is what I call people having YouTube fun.
Yes.
Like, which is, I love that for our podcast.
Yeah.
And it's not really smooth jazz.
Let's play it because I have notes.
But it has some of the tropes.
Yes, I have notes.
But I did laugh out loud and I was like, this is hysterical.
Yeah.
Especially because like, are you ready?
And it's sort of like the Shreds videos, but with smooth jazz.
That part's very smooth. It just made me laugh. I was like, and then just watching them play, like they're having a ball.
It is good. It's like a funky version.
It is really good. My note is that it's more jazz fusion.
Yeah.
It's not smooth jazz, but it's not funny to say jazz fusion.
Yeah, I mean, you can rearrange the song, but it's still Running with the Devil, and it's not a smooth jazz song, so
no,
you can't completely
Yeah. That guitar part,
yeah,
feels a little smooth jazz, which it makes me laugh.
I mean, it's good enough that I can picture, you know, having some white wine and cocaine to this.
Yes, yes.
And I appreciate that that's what they're going for. It's like, I'm not going to force the tropes.
Yes.
And make it sound like shit just to make it sound more smooth jazzy.
Exactly.
I'm going to make it an actually listenable version.
Yeah, I'm going to make it good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the drums are a little bit like... The drums aren't the drums that Alex is doing, but yeah, they're still not really smooth. Smooth jazz drums aren't really like that.
Yeah.
It's more jazz fusion. But if I was in a bar and someone played this version, I'd lose my shit.
Yeah.
I would unabashedly lose my shit.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
It's very listenable.
Yeah.
You know, I'd put it on a playlist.
This is where it gets this jazz part, fusion.
Now, well, no, this doesn't sound like jazz fusion to me. You know what this sounds like to me?
What?
Fish.
Yes.
Now that we're getting into the guitar solo, yes, I'm like, oh, now it's a little
the
bit.
The guitar part's the solo's the worst part.
Which is not, that's fusion adjacent.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Weather Report, kind of, or,
yeah,
or if Dave Matthews was doing it.
Right.
Yes.
But this would be like where Trey takes off.
Yes. It's more the hook.
Yeah.
That really works.
It's also a stripped down sort of, yes, version that I like.
Yeah. It's not as bombastic.
I'll bet David Lee Roth would love this and Eddie Van Halen would have hated it.
Yeah. David Lee Roth would have been like, this is fucking hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, they really did a good job. And Eddie Van Halen, they're fucking sullying my work.
Right, because David Lee Roth, I mean, he did that Just a Gigolo.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, he's not precious about himself.
No.
So I don't think he'd be offended by this.
Yeah.
But Eddie Van Halen is one of the greatest guitar players of all time. So for him to get overdubbed by this,
yeah,
Trey Anastasio-ass bullshit, I don't think would sit well.
I don't think he'd sit well. Yes.
And that's fine. I mean, even if he had a good sense of humor about himself, it would be like, come on.
Yeah. I'm curious, and I think talked about this, like, where it was like, when they broke up and David Lee Roth left,
yeah,
the whole scenario was like, David Lee Roth's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He was the prick, and they were just like, get the fuck out, because you're too overbearing of an egotistical person. And then over the years, I kind of go, maybe it was Eddie.
Porky no los dos. Why choose? I think if there's a 100% chance that both of those dudes were giant pricks.
Yeah.
Who, at the height of their fame, got way full of themselves.
Yes.
And hated each other. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I don't need my rock stars to be nice boys who love each other. I think David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen both rule. And I think they probably are both insufferable assholes.
Yeah, I would agree.
And both of those things can be true.
I would agree. And they broke Gary Cherone's heart.
Why did they tease him like that?
So mean.
I mean, he did make a whole ass album with the
band. I mean, better than Hagar. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Some of the Hagar stuff.
I like two Hagar songs. I think I like...
I like Right Now, but that's just because it reminds me of the Crystal Pepsi commercials, yeah, when I was 9.
I like, there was some... This sounds so dumb.
Yeah.
I like earlier Van Hagar.
I like the early stuff with Van Halen. Oh, you mean the first couple albums? No, I mean the first few albums with Sammy.
With Sammy. That's the real stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they had The Best of Both Worlds and Hot Summer Nights, which is off the first Hagar album.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was like, oh, these are good rock songs. And then after that, I was just like, fuck no.
How do you feel about Sammy Solo? I Can't Drive 55.
I hate Sammy
Solo. His song on the heavy metal soundtrack is pretty good.
I hate all
The Red Rocker?
Yeah.
I will say also about that last clip, if the devil really does involve himself in music at all, it's probably smooth jazz.
Well, that's because it lulls you,
yeah,
into a sense of just calm and tranquility and sereneness, and then he steps in and fucks you.
Well, I just think that, like, heavy metal is a speed genre, and I think the devil's drug of choice is coke. I think Satan is like an 80s,
oh yeah,
Wall Street-y cokehead.
Satan doesn't do heroin.
No.
He's really into blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's that aspirate. He's a yuppie. Yeah. Satan is a wealthy yuppie. Yeah. Gordon Gekko.
Yeah.
Key bumps in the men's room. Yeah. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And
he's that life jazz. Yeah.
So I'm not trying to force that last clip into the topic. No, I do believe that. I do believe that Satan is a cokehead.
I would have no doubt. He doesn't smoke weed for certain.
Oh no, hell no.
Because that's natural, man. Yeah. Satan ain't natural.
God gave us weed.
And
also weed's for kids.
That's right.
But that was the last clip in our, I think we did it. I think we successfully sold our souls.
Oh yeah.
I think we're now damned.
Oh God. Yeah.
Which, you know, don't let that scare you. Let that free you. You're going to hell anyway. You can't go twice. And I get to do whatever you want.
I'm now, what is that church? The Hedonist Church?
That's literally what that fox says to Sammy Davis. You're talking about the Church of Satan.
Church of Satan, yeah.
But he says, oh, Lucifer's going to be mad at me. She's like, well, you can't get in more trouble.
Yeah. So let's fuck.
Yeah. And that's Satanism. Thank you for joining us for this evil episode of Music Ray Gun. I've been your host, Paul.
I'm Kirk.
Until next time.
See ya!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!